Carrie and Tommy about to go off.
Carrie and Tommy are about to get a little wild in this podcast. If money feels a little wild, NAB's right there with you. From weekly groceries to the yearly holiday, whatever matters to you, NAB can help wrangle it. NAB, more than money.
Thank you for being brave, 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 brave. Yeah. And if you threw a party, party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me, party, and the card attached would say, thank you for being brave.
Y'all ready to get this thing started? Yeah. Y'all ready to get crunk?
Yeah. Yo, hold up, stop.
It's the one and only
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yeah.
Welcome to it for your Tuesday, Arvo. How are we, guys?
Wow, Carrie's going. Sore. Carrie's going viral over there.
Sore.
If you haven't seen or heard, Carrie is training for the Great Wall of China Marathon.
Two and a half weeks' time.
Yes, and you're training your butt off because it's great to see. Literally training your butt off.
My glutes are so. Yeah. I did a double set of stairs yesterday. It's not something I thought I'd say.
Two sets of stairs.
And I, my bottom is sore.
Well, if people want to check out the video, it is on your Instagram. And you got it subtitled. And so they're meant to beep out the swear words. And it doesn't. It just beeps at a second before or a second afterwards.
So it just was a lot of people were commenting that they were listening to it at work, but it was just swear words coming out of their phone.
Well, Rove said in his comment, I'd start learning how to say the F-bomb in Mandarin if I was you. I was listening to this out loud and someone asked me if I was watching adult content. It's just you.
There is a lot of me in it going, because I could not get up those stairs.
A kids band have written, the bleeps had one job.
But I'm out there and I'm doing it and I'm feeling inspired and I'm feeling motivated and I'm now excited. I've got a pep in my step. That video doesn't look like I've got a pep in my step. That video looks like I'm not going to do very well, but mentally I've got a pep in my step.
I reckon you're doing awesome. We do have something that might even help you out.
Oh,
a little later on this hour. You know what else we have?
Peptides? No, what are they called?
Peptides.
Bit of performance-enhancing gear. Is that what you're looking for?
Are they called peptides?
What was the doctor called?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
Anyway, we've got him coming up.
What do we need to call him? Yeah.
Not Martin.
No, was it the weapon or something?
No. Larkin. No.
Doc Larkin's a great and reputable doctor. Thank you
very much. We're in defamation territory.
No, I love him.
He's just looked after my broken ribs.
Has he?
Yes.
Oh, did you...
He's a wonderful man. No, I asked.
Oh, yeah.
He's awesome.
Bickers, we also have coming later in the hour $100,000 on the line. I think I have not checked the jackpot today, but I think for the time game, it might have ticked over to 100K.
No, it has.
Maybe. You never know.
Hey, up next though, can we talk about what I did this morning? Because it was something I never thought I'd be into, and I
are we going to need the beeper again?
So much. Actually, there was a bit of swearing that happened during it, but I won't do the swearing on it. I know there's kids in the cars. In fact, I think the kids will love what I got up to this morning more than I ever have. And now it's my new thing. We need to discuss it.
Really?
And I need your calls because I need your thoughts on it. We're going to talk about it next.
Carrie and Tommy.
For your Tuesday afternoon. You might lose control if you win 100K in the time game very soon.
Also, you know, we have a guest joining us later in the show who the last time I saw him, the other person with us, was responsible for taking down the biggest terrorist on the planet.
What?
Yes. I know. It was fascinating.
Osama bin Laden?
I was trying to tease to that, but
that's good information.
If that is it, I would use that as your tease. I don't want to tell you how to do your job. But if we're going to hear about the guy who took down Osama bin Laden, that's your lead. That's how you say it, champ.
I wasn't sure we were allowed to talk about it, champ.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't want to tell you how to do your job, champ.
Champing people in 3 o'clock.
Yes, we've just identified him, champ.
Whoa.
So this morning, so in a couple of days we're interviewing Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
And we had to go this morning to watch his new movie coming out. Now, I'll be completely honest. I didn't know what I was going to go see.
No.
I assumed it was going to be something a little bit action-y because it's Chris Hemsworth. I didn't know if it was the latest Thor installment. I didn't know anything, right? And I sat down and I've got to preface this by saying I'm not into action movies. I can't even think the last action movie, full action movie I watched and enjoyed.
Wait, hold on. So you've watched them and got up and left?
I just don't put them on.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, so this morning we went to Chris Hemsworth's movie and we sat down. There was a team of...
Do you want me to help you out, champ?
No, not yet. Okay. No, I don't want you to say what it was yet. That's the point of my story, champ. This is let me do me.
We're having the same dilemma that I just had before, champ.
I didn't realise as I was loving this movie sick until an hour and a half in that I was watching a Mad Max movie. I'm watching, is it a prequel? Is that the right word? A prequel. Oh, my God. I was absolutely enthralled.
You're still going to give us the name?
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, that's why I was going to help you, champ.
Well, I hadn't got to that bit. What is it called?
Do you want the name?
Yes, I
do.
How
were you going to get to it if you didn't know what it was called?
I was just going to call it the latest Mad Max installment. What's it called?
Furiosa.
Furiosa. Is that her, the girl that I fell in love with?
The one that all movie they call Furiosa.
I don't remember her having a name. She just had the eyes.
She did.
She had the eyes and she was phenomenal. It starts with her as a kid.
I'm not going to give away the plot.
Anya Taylor-Joy, you might know her from The Queen's Gambit. She is a star. I love her. And I think that's why I love the movie so much. It was centered around this kick-ass woman. And she was slaying. There was times when she was in these big tractor car things going over dunes and rolling over people. And I was like, yes, you go. What's her name again?
Furiosa.
Furiosa.
Yes.
She was so good. Chris Hemsworth, I'm not sure if... I was meant to laugh at him a few times, but he did make me giggle a few times because his get-up is very funny.
Yes.
I'm not going to give too much away either because I think you want the moment where you go, oh, my God, that's Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
Now I've got a whole lot of Mad Maxes to watch, obviously.
We did. Well, we had similar lack of preparedness because I didn't know what we were seeing either. I knew it was a Chris Hemsworth film. And so when it started, I was next to you and I went, oh, yes, I wanted to see this. Oh, seriously.
This is what I think is so funny. You said you wanted to see this.
Yeah.
And you spent 2 hours going, I hate it. It's so scary. Oh, my God, too many jump scares.
I never said I hated it.
It was like you had never seen an action movie in your life.
No, that's what I'm like with all of them.
Oh, my God.
So I enjoyed
it. You would be an absolute punish to go to the movies with. You were so vocal the whole way through. You ruined it for everybody else.
Did I?
Champ?
You did. He kept talking and kept going, oh, no, what's he going to do now?
Yeah.
You give movie commentary?
I get very involved.
Yeah.
And I tell them not to go in places they shouldn't.
Yeah, that's right. Stop. I'm like, stop.
Yeah. Or I tell them to get out of places they should. Or I tell them to start the car when they haven't. There's a bit going
on. You also did a bit of what you give your mum a hard time for. You leant over a few times and you were like, are they going to die? Do you think they're going to die?
Yes.
I'm like, I don't know because I've seen as much as you have.
I know. It was wonderful. It did me in, though.
It was, yes.
It was a real number
on me. Don't go watch it before work because it was quite exhausting. It takes it out of you.
It should be your night.
It should be your night, yeah. But what's it's done for me is I think I'm going to go watch some action movies.
This is great.
But I want action movies with the female lead. None of you can do that next to it. Oh, that was
so annoying. I can't
help that.
I get scared.
Yeah, well, good. Then Jesse, do you get scared?
No.
Great. Let's watch some action movies.
Are we watching
together?
All of the Mad Maxes now?
How many is there? I've got to catch up on.
But what do you guys do? Do you just sit in silence? Is that what you meant to do?
Watch the movie.
Well, you have all the moments that you had inside your head. You just go, oh my God,
I don't think I should scream now. I just go, oh, like that, because something's happened. I'm not trying to.
Oh, what if you get some headphones? Then you can sit with your little headphones on next to him while he makes all his noise.
And
you
can just.
Oh, okay. Yep. That's another option.
What action movies do I need to. Did you know the funny thing was the only thing I knew about Mad Max movies was that Megan Gale had been in one? That's the only memory I have. Did she play a female lead in one? Because I want female led movies because I'm in a zone at the moment. I want women to rule. And I want to watch action movies where they are just machines. I want big.
Yeah, you can watch the Charlize Theron one.
Is that the before or after?
The Fury Road. So, I mean, they've made it before, but it's after.
It's the one that
is it like Star Wars
for.
Where I've got to know the back and the fore?
No,
and
it's more
at
Mad
before.
Max.
131060. 131060. What am I watching? Give me my next film I'm going to watch. I'll be like Margaret Pomerantz and I'll do action
I feel
movie
like you teased
reviews.
Me. I feel like you teased me yesterday for asking what time should I start work. Now we've opened with what should I watch?
No, you got to sell it to me too. I want to know what's so good about it. Like this had it all. At one point there was these guys that were like, what would you call them where they shot up behind?
Parasailing.
Parasailing, but with machine guns.
Yes. Sick. What sick movies should pickers watch next? Give us a call, 131060.
Carrie and Tommy.
$100,000 up for grabs when we play the time game very, very soon.
Oof. We're talking about action films with female leads, I should point out, because we saw the latest, I'm calling it the latest Chris Hemsworth movie because I'm assuming, did he have a bit to do with making it as well or is he just in it?
Just in it.
Just in it. Oh, because his wife's in it too, so I thought maybe they'd made it.
Elsa Pataky.
Elsa Pataky was in it. But Anya Taylor-Joy, she's the lead in it. Oh, my God.
Furiosa.
I mean,
love.
She was amazing. I've not seen any of the Mad Maxes. I didn't know till an hour and a half in that that's what I was watching. But I loved it, and I'm on board some action flicks. Leah, what am I watching?
Peppermint with Jennifer Garner.
Oh.
I have not even heard of Peppermint.
What happens in Peppermint?
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but she's a very strong female lead. She's a wife and mother in it and goes on a bit of a rampage to get some revenge. So,
is it gritty? Because I liked how like dirty this was. They were grubby the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, there's a bit of that. Lots of action. She's just, yeah, she turns from your everyday wife and mum into a bit of a vigilante.
All that rage that had been simmering inside, yeah. All that all those loads of washing just is spilled out.
Yeah.
Bit of a tearjerker though, you must be ready. As a mum, you might find it a bit of it. Yeah, but very worth a watch.
Okay, great. Thanks, Leah.
As long as they're grubby.
No, I just liked the fact that it was all just a bit
dirty.
Yeah. Web Gailo was telling me before I go to China, I should watch Mulan. He said is Mulan the name of the girl in Mulan?
Yes.
Mulan is a Disney movie?
Yeah. It's like I think it came out in 97 and it's probably the most formative. It's an action film, but lots of comedy too. Eddie Murphy plays her little conscience, Mushu. But it's probably the most formative.
It doesn't sound grubby and gritty.
It is. She takes on China. She saves China from the Huns. I don't want to spoil it. You need to watch this. Put your kids in front of the TV.
Kids in front of it.
Without
Carrie
a doubt.
Wants action.
Like, if you want an empowered
She wants limbs being ripped off.
Were you saying it was one of the most formative movies of your childhood?
Without a doubt. Especially the way my outlook towards women as well. I don't know if I can get into this conversation now, but I am always overwhelmed with emotion when I watch this. Mulan is one of my favorite films, and I can talk about it till the cows come home.
I love that, Eli.
Sounds a bit sissy.
No, I love it. I love his passion. And
I like his passion, but I think when you want gritty.
Wait, it's got a dragon in it.
I don't know if a Disney movie is what you're after, is it?
Absolutely.
Isn't your life watching Disney movies with the kids?
No, but we haven't
done
Mulan
yet. Isn't this your new
chapter? No, I could do more. I do want female-led things.
What about
Game
of Thrones? It's got the Queen of Dragons in it.
Oh, of course. Khaleesi.
Oh, yeah. I did watch a couple of episodes. I just found that really tricky to understand.
Yeah, it is very hard.
I needed a
map. They are grubby, though.
They're
grubby.
Very grubby.
Yes.
Yeah. And they get grubbier.
And there is a bit of action in it too.
I think the action comes from the fact that I'm so filled with rage at the state of our country at the moment that just seeing a woman just absolutely become a machine, just,
Yeah, Queen of Dragons, mate. I'm telling you.
Cassandra, what am I watching?
Hey, I think you should watch Underworld.
Oh, the series, Channel 9 series.
No.
You think of Underbelly?
Oh, Underbelly.
No, it's called Kate Beckinsale. She is. It's a war between vampires and werewolves.
Oh,
I don't know if I can do because they're not real, you know.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm 100% with the whole fantasy thing is not my thing, but these are really, really good.
Okay.
But also, Carrie, you know, Mad Max wasn't a documentary, did I?
What?
Nah, but I could imagine myself in it, and I like to be able to do that. Whereas I wouldn't know if I'm the werewolf. Yeah, I imagine myself.
Oh, are
you in there imagining yourself driving the trucks up over the dunes?
You crash your car every 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. I just roll over. In this movie, I just roll over.
Crush
cars.
Them. Yes, it's good.
What about Layla? Hey, Layla.
Hey.
Who are you? How old are you, Layla?
14.
And are you there with your nan?
Yes.
Hey, Nan.
Hey, Nan.
Hi.
What movie should Carrie be watching?
Well, we got two for you today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Captain Marvel.
Excellent.
Then the Marvels.
What's the Marvels?
It's the sequel to Captain Marvel.
Oh.
It's got three female leads in it.
Amazing. Giselle, have you always been a fan of an action movie or is this a later in life thing?
Sort of. I like, yeah, action, yeah, but not blood, guts and action.
No, I agree. I liked this.
There
wasn't
was so much blood and guts today.
Oh, but not, you know, it wasn't like gore.
Are you joking?
I did close my eyes a bit.
It's wonderful. Carrie, it's so gory.
Was it? Would you call that gore?
You know how you had your eyes closed and you could hear me going, ah! That were all the gory bit.
That's okay. I can watch it through my hands.
There's a lot of people like being torn apart.
Yeah.
Max is back.
Carrie and Tommy.
Heaps to come, because before the end of this hour, we have a surprise for you that is going to help you on your Great Wall of China marathon, which is
very
now
excited.
Only
2.5 weeks away.
Well, we think there's something essential mm-hmm. that you're missing.
Okay.
And we are going to plug the gap.
I do need one of those little a straw backpack things to drink water out of.
That's not what we got.
Camelback.
No? Camelback. Yeah. I need one of them.
That's
apparently.
Not what we got. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Something else.
Maybe that's for tomorrow, guys.
I didn't think that would make great radio. Carrie, here's a camelback. Play the song, Jesse.
Up next, though.
Ooh.
Ooh, is it cash time? Can I hear a till being opened?
Do I have
it's a big till. It's a huge till.
It's $100,000 and I haven't even seen this till that I'm meant to have. Anyway, let's see if we can find the till next.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
For your Tuesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's the best competition in radio.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, my God.
Carrie and Tommy's time game.
Oh, mate, you make our dreams come true.
All you need to do is say stop.
Stop.
On exactly 5 seconds. And doing just that. Exactly that. Could change your life forever. Because today, the time game has jackpotted to...
Well, I wonder what
hang
it'll
on.
Be.
Hang on, where have I left it? Oh, it's here.
It's $100,000.
Yes.
Carrie and Tommy's $100,000 time game.
Just open the till. That's why I put it there next to it.
Make-believe stuff just doesn't really... We're a show about truth. And we are the only show... on air where you can hear $100,000 being given away by a mustelid.
That's right.
Yes. If you don't know what a mustelid is, it's a family of furry animals of which the ferret is one.
The king.
Who else is in the mustelid?
Who cares?
That's a good answer. G'day, Jessica.
Hi, how you going?
Sorry about Carrie's till rubbish from a bit earlier. There's no till here, but we do have $100,000.
Excellent.
Would that be life-changing for you?
Absolutely would be.
Great.
What would you do with the cash, Jess?
We've just moved to the Gold Coast from Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two beautiful little girls who we spend, my husband and I, all our money on them. And I would like to put a little bit to our mortgage and have my hair done.
Get your hair done.
$100,000 worth of hair done. Yeah. What would you get for that, Jess?
I might get some hair extensions. No, I do want to put a lot of it towards our mortgage. We are building our house up here.
Amazing.
But it would just be lovely to spend a little bit on me for something and then make sure the kids are
great.
Have a
love
great
it, Jess. So you know how this works.
Yes.
Our mustelid will say start and you got to say stop at exactly 5 seconds, all right?
I'll do my best.
Start.
One. Stop.
That felt so good. I was counting in my head with you, Jess, and I said five. Stop at the exact same time.
Jess was not counting in her head. Yeah, I heard her go
yes,
one.
Yes, that's true. Yep.
Jess, did you know other members of the mustelid family include otters, polecats, and badgers?
I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't know what a polecat was.
A polecat.
Yeah.
It's a cat on a pole.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a polecat.
How did Jessica go, Jesse?
Five.
Yes, that's a good start.
Point.
Oh, my gosh, for $100,000.
Oh, stop.
All right.
Oh.
Oh, looks like the hair's going to have to stay the way it is.
Yes.
Won't matter, though. Oh,
no. It's like she got a blow wave on the way down. G'day, Brooke.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, very good. How are you?
Good. I actually feel sorry for Jess.
Well, she's gone.
Yeah, that, gone.
That's fine.
Gone. It was because it was meant to be mine.
Yes, that's
true. That's a good attitude, good Brooke.
Attitude. Yeah. It's the quick and the dead
year. Talking to you guys anyway.
Okay. Yeah, we love you, Brooke, too. You know how this works, all right? We want you to win the money. So you just got to say stop and just.
Sounds good.
Yeah, all right. Let's do it.
Start.
Stop.
Ooh, felt a bit long, Brooke.
Felt a bit on the long side for me, Brooke.
Oh, really?
Oh, I don't know, though, but we are not the keepers of the time.
No, we are not.
It is our furry friend.
It is the polecat.
It's not. He's not a polecat. He's
don't call me that.
Ferret. Also, weasels.
Oh, yeah, we don't like to be associated with weasels.
Well, you are, because they're mustards.
Yeah, but we don't talk about it. But
ferret boy. How did Brooke go?
It's just ferret. There's no boy.
How did Brooke go?
6.33.
Good fall.
Well done, Brooke. G'day, Mel.
Oh, hi, guys. How are you?
Oh, Mel, you'd spend the money on something fun. What are you spending 100K on?
I'd get myself some new tits.
So would I, Mel.
And secondly, yeah, I would, guys. Seriously, that'd be first on my list.
That's what I'd get done
then
as well.
I'd love to send my son to a private school next year when he starts. The tits first. So I can be a hot mum at pickup.
Education second.
Yeah. I like it, Mel. I like it. Also, our public school system's very good. Would you think of getting a BBL as well?
And then just forego the private school.
Yeah, sending the kid
maybe
to a public
some
school.
Liposuction, but I don't think my ass needs any more. It's already quite up there. Like, it's a big ass.
Wow.
And not in a good way. Not really in a good way. I'm probably might get myself a gym membership.
Nah, you're lucky. Mel, booty is
back.
But yeah, I didn't want to say it had ever gone. So then I went and said booty is beautiful, and I felt real weird. And so then I just said booty is, and you can fill in the gap.
It's a tricky world.
It's a wonderful world of okay. Hey, Mel, let's win you this cash and.
Okay, hold on, guys. So just quickly, you're gonna tell me when to go, and then I'm gonna.
So, Jesse. Let's not get into
he
that.
He is a ferret, which is part of the mustard family, Mel.
Jesse's going to say start. You say stop at exactly 5 seconds. If it's bang on five, you win 100K. If it's not bang on five, then we kick you out the moon door. Bye-bye.
I'm going to feel shameful if I don't get it bang on five, because the whole reason is my ex only used to the last 5 seconds. So I seriously feel
you should
like
know the
this is in my basket here. So, okay.
You should know the time. Well then, Mel, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Start.
Stop.
Oh, ooh. Mel, were you counting to 10 or 5?
No, 5.
Did that feel like a session? Was that like, is that what it felt like?
It felt worse than that. Like, no, I wasn't good, guys, that way.
Yeah, okay.
I'm nervous, very nervous.
Yeah, I am.
How did Mel go, Jesse?
$100,000.
6.80.
Oh, no.
Great
she
fall.
Went far.
Yeah, jackpots again tomorrow.
If you would like to play, make sure you are listening to Brecky to get involved. Carrie and Tommy. Around the country for your drive home, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because I've asked you before on this show and you refuse to answer, what is better than eating a mandarin? A mandarin tutor. Would you please welcome Jack? Of course, you are running the Great Wall of China and you do not speak mandarin. Carrie, this is Jack.
Hey, Jack, how are you?
Yeah, well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. This is so timely.
Hi, Jack. I'm Tommy.
Because on my Instagram, I put the video of me running up the hill and people were telling me, I think Rove even suggested I needed to learn some Mandarin before I got to China.
Well, Jack, is Mandarin your first language?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And
100%. I'm surprised you didn't go with Kevin Rudd.
That's true.
I'm very thankful
Rudd.
That we have Jack instead of Kevin Rudd.
I'd much rather Jack.
Yes, I would much rather Jack too.
And Jack, you teach people to speak Mandarin. You're a tutor. That's your job.
Yep.
How long does it take? Carrie, how much Mandarin do you have at the moment?
I have zero, not one word.
Oh.
Okay.
That's rare.
Is it?
Yeah.
That I don't know.
A lot of people are learning Mandarin these days. I often
met people on the street, they will say ni hao or...
Oh, I don't know ni hao. I know ni hao.
Hey, I can speak Mandarin and they will talk to me and I was surprised. I said, oh, okay.
Okay, ni hao, I do know. That's hello. Yeah, see, I do know. I know one word.
So you've already started. How long does it normally take someone to become fluent?
Well, that really depends. Depends on
Harry's
your...
very smart.
I've got 2 weeks. How would I go?
I think you can nail it.
We've got a few phrases that I think will be very important and pertinent to your run.
Yeah. Yep. This one is.
Could you say that, and then we can tell Carrie what it is.
Sure. This is a bit hard. Okay. 我是澳大利亚人.
Have a go at that, Carrie.
Sorry. Say that again.
澳大利亚. Can you say that first?
Huh?
澳大利亚.
澳大利亚.
Oh, beautiful.
澳大利亚.
So what's that? That's Australia. The sound of yes. Yeah. So 我是澳大利亚. Oh. 我是澳大利亚. Can you say that?
我是澳大利亚.
Yeah, yeah. And 我拉出来了. Yeah.
Well done, Carrie. Beautiful. That's your first sentence that you need. That is, I'm from Australia and I just shit my pants. Which is very good.
That's
I've already
very useful.
Forgotten it.
Second one is a bit long, so I will cut it a bit shorter.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Okay, so 按摩. 特殊服务.
特殊.
特殊服务.
That's it. That's great. You just said, because this is post-run.
Sure.
So you just said, where's a massage parlor that offers extras, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Which is
I
good.
I knew this was going to be a stitch
Which
up.
Which is good.
Sure. Yep.
Yep. I don't reckon we need the next one. That's, my name is Carrie and getting pooped on is my thing. I don't reckon we need that one.
Yeah, that's too hard for her. Yeah.
Too hard for her.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, good one, Jen. Thank you.
我想买大码.
Again?
Like if you want to buy something. 我想买.
我想买.
大码.
大码. 我想买大码.
Yeah, you got to remember, you're going to need that one.
我想买大码.
Yes.
Yeah, which is?
Oh, obviously, because you won't be able to take your stash over there. It was, where can I buy some marijuana?
This is very good.
Jack, I'm not into that, Jack, just so you know.
I don't think that China has that. It's hard.
Yeah, oh, China will have to take your stash.
It's illegal.
Yeah.
It's illegal. Yes, Jack, in China. Yes, and I will not be over there. Illegal. Guys, I want to come back
it's
from
illegal.
China. Don't have me detained in China.
She has a script.
What about this?
你需要签名吗?
你需要签名吗?
你需要我签名吗?
你需要我...
你需要我... That's a bit hard.
Say that again.
你...
你...
需要...
需要...
我...
我...
签名吗?
签名吗?
Yeah, it's like a question, right? You can hear the...
Yeah, and what do I... 签名吗?
Yeah, 签名吗?
Yeah.
I'm famous in Australia. Would you like an autograph? Which I thought you'll use a lot as well. And then this last one, because it's obviously going to be a cultural experience for you. And it's wonderful, Jack, you can teach us some stuff today, but obviously you want to exchange cultural experiences with people so you will let them know something about Australia as well.
在澳大利亚.
在澳大利亚.
Yep. 我们.
我们.
问好的时候.
问好的时候.
说.
说.
What's up? Like that?
What's up? Come on, Jack, you want to say it too. What's up?
What's up? Like that?
Yeah. Even put you back into it, Jack. Like this. What's up?
Ooh. Like, what's up?
Yeah. Very good, Jack.
Oh, Jack, you're the best.
In my country, we greet people by saying,
"What's
up?" I've never heard of that.
Well, Jack, thank you very much.
Jack,
Jack.
If people want to learn Mandarin from you, where can they go? Where can they find you?
I think the easiest way is to call me.
Okay.
Do we just give out your phone number?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, yes.
just go ahead.
So my phone number is 0490-934-687.
Ripper, if you want to learn Mandarin from Jack, just go and give him a call. Jack, that was wonderful. Thank you very much. 谢谢.
谢谢.
Gary and Tommy.
Ooh, and it is a big hour to come.
Big hour. We meet a real-life astronaut later this hour and up next because one of the biggest comedians on the planet joins us. And the last time that we hung out, we were overseas, and there was a third man with us. And that man, as you pointed out earlier in the show, which I was going to allude to, was responsible for shooting Osama bin Laden. And we got to talk about it. That's next.
Gary and Tommy. Gary and Tommy.
Driving you home from 3 till 6 for your Tuesday arvo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because we were lucky earlier today to catch up with a very special guest. He's one of the biggest comedians in the world. I'm performing with him tonight at the Malt House for Jim Jefferies and friends. There are a few last-minute tickets available if you want to go to that. It is a 9:30 show at Malt House for the people lucky enough to be down in Melbourne. Then he is touring the rest of the country, and he joins us now. Jim Jefferies. G'day, Jim.
Hello. Hello, Tommy. How are you, mate? Good to see you. I'll see you tonight.
Mate, I can't wait to see you. Do you remember... I had one of the most fascinating drinks of my life with you. Do you recall what I'm talking about?
Is this with my mate Rob?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Yes. Because, yeah. Jim, I don't know if I spoke to you afterwards, but I mentioned quickly the story to Carrie. Jim, I was leaving a theatre and I'd been lucky enough to perform on Jim's Gala, and then he goes, oh, are you leaving? And I said yes. And do you remember the sentence you said to me that I never expected anyone to say to me in my life?
I love you. I don't want to make love to you right now.
I wish it was that. No, it was, would you like to have a beer with the guy who shot Osama bin Laden?
Yeah, that's the exact quote. Yeah, yes.
I know this. You've dined out on this story for quite
well,
some
because,
time.
Because, Jim, I obviously looked too excited. And you said, hey, just be cool. And I didn't realise at the time that it was public knowledge. I thought you saying be cool was like nobody knows that this is the guy. And so,
no, because it's a weird thing with Rob. You can't just go straight into, hey, you shot bin Laden. What you got to do is with Rob is you got to get a couple of beers into him and wait for him to bring it up because he will bring it up.
Because, you know, I carried this around like I had a state secret. I chatted to him for 20 minutes about the weather and the most mundane, because all I'm thinking in my head is don't mention Osama bin Laden. Don't mention Osama bin Laden. And then I got home. And I told my mates like in secret, and one of them goes, do you mean Rob O'Neill? And I said, how did you know that? And he goes, he wrote a book called The Man Who Shot Osama bin Laden.
he's written a book. The first time I ever met him was years and years and years ago. It'd be a good 10 years ago now, I think. And I was over at my house. And I had a friend who was a photographer who took photos of him, and they asked him, like, what music he liked, what comedians he liked, and he said that he liked me as a comedian. And so my friend said, oh, I can introduce you, and Rob wanted to meet me. So I said, oh, I'm having a barbecue this weekend. You should come over. I wasn't having a barbecue. I didn't have anyone coming over. So what I did was, I rang up all my friends, right? And I said, the guy who shot bin Laden is coming over to the house, right? Because coming over the house, we're going to act like we're having a barbecue, but it's all just so that we can meet this guy, right? So he's coming over the house. And I remember Rhys Darby and his wife was there. You'll know Rhys Darby.
Yes.
Like Murray from Fly the Conchords, Our Flag Means Death, movie star Rhys Darby, right? So Rhys is there. And his wife, and in walks in these three soldiers, and they're pretty rough looking blokes. They're from SEAL Team 6. They're big sort of steroid bound looking guys. They've got tattoos all over them. And two of them had pretty ordinary looking wives. And then the redheaded bloke had a really good looking wife. And I went, I think that might be the guy who shot bin Laden. And I called it from a distance. Now, to begin, I walk up to him and I said, hey, mate, I haven't told any of my friends, but I know who you are, right? Mm. Which is complete bullshit because I'd told everybody.
Of course.
Everyone in the party already knew, right? And I said, I know who you are and I thank you for your service and I really appreciate what you've done for the world, you know what I mean? And then he said very loudly, what? that I shot Bin Laden, and then he didn't shut up about it for the rest of the night.
So, oh, my God. I wish I was at that party. I've got so many questions.
Well, I had so many questions when I had a beer with him, and I didn't ask him any of them. But Jim did ask him the main one that I wanted to ask, which is the final words he said before he shot Osama bin Laden. You'll hear what they were next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Your Tuesday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And because we are in the middle of our chat with Jim Jefferies, I'm performing with Jim tonight for Jim Jefferies and Friends, 9:30 p.m. At the Malt House down in Melbourne. If you are there, there are a few last-minute tickets that have been released if you want to come along. But we are chatting with him about his friend Rob O'Neill, who I got to have a beer with when I was last with Jim. And Rob is famous for being a Navy SEAL and being the man who shot Osama bin Laden. Jim told me to be cool when I met him, and I thought that meant that nobody knows he's the guy. So I didn't ask him any questions. I found out later that not only was it not a secret, that he, in fact, talks about it quite a bit. Is it true? And I don't know if this is true, but because after my mates were laughing at me because I thought I had like top secret information, like I would be trusted with something like that, they started sitting there like, man, he's doing a speaking tour where he takes questions from the audience about shooting Osama bin Laden. And then they said, oh my gosh, I think he's been excommunicated from the Navy SEALs because he's talking too much about the fact that he shot Osama bin Laden.
When he does his speeches, okay, so when he first told me the story, I was still drinking back then, and he was telling the story. When he first told the story went one way. Oh, I knew I was going to die that day, and I was on this last mission of my life, and I said goodbye to my children and all that type of stuff. And then by the end of it, he's like this, shooting bin Laden was no different than shooting a butte in Montana, like that, right? And then I said, did you say something before you shot him? Like, was there like an Arnold Schwarzenegger action movie, Hasta la vista, baby moment, right? And he said, no. And he goes, I wish I said Yahtzee. That's meant to be something in the military. You say Yahtzee when you shoot someone. And I said, ah, that's stupid. I would have said, where have you been, Laden? Right? Now, I believe that Rob tells people in his speeches now that he said where have you been, Laden? Oh. But that never really happened.
That's so funny. So if people are going along to the gig tonight, what can they expect, Jim?
Just more bullshit like that. Right. Me going to have stories about bin Laden. No, tonight, man, we got Tommy Little performing, man. We got professional comics. It's the show we're doing for Channel 7, and it's called Jim Jefferies and Friends. That's the working title. We might call it something else, but I got to give it up for Channel 7. Well done, Channel 7.
Yes.
Because I said, look, we're going to say the C word a lot, and we're going to be swearing a lot. And they said, don't worry about it, Jim. We'll put it on after 9:30. And I'm like, God bless Australia. Like, no other nation on earth would allow me to be on network TV. So we've got comics from all over the world. We've got comics from America. We've got comics from the UK. And obviously, my favourite Australian comics. But not all killer, no filler. Every single comic is a banger. Not one person has had a bad gig. We've already recorded 4 of the episodes, and we're recording 2 of them tonight. And the only thing that can let us down now is Tommy.
Great. That's true. Oh, God. That's
true. Jim, you know there's different rules.
You should tell
a
bin Laden story now.
Well.
You just take on board that's your thing. Use that bin Laden line.
Well, there's different rules for you, Jim, because I got told to keep it clean tonight. It was just like when we were in Montreal and I got to the theatre and they said, oh, it's dry. And I go on this rant about what's happened to showbiz and showbiz is dead. And then I see Jim and he's asked me what's going on. I said, I can't get it. Drank it, buddy. And he just goes, just come into my dressing room. And the bloke wasn't even drinking at the time. It's full of piss.
But you weren't allowed to drink.
No, I got Jim. Yeah, Jim was kind enough to.
And the guy who owns the festival, Bruce, who I'm still friends with, Bruce is a great guy who owns Just for Laughs, right? And Bruce was like, he's like, oh, you can have a drink, Jim. But he goes, but I don't like all the other comics getting drunk. So he took all the drinks out of everyone else's dressing room. And so that he doesn't feel like he's ripping anybody off. He doesn't drink backstage either. until Rob O'Neill, the guy who shot Bin Laden, came. He brought all the drinks in because he wanted to have a beer with him as well.
Yeah, the guy that shot Bin Laden.
Well, Jim, I can't wait to see you tonight. Thank you for having me on the show. Like I said, there's some last-minute tickets that are available for that, the 9:30 show tonight for people in Melbourne. It's at the Malt House. But also, Jim, you are touring the country. You're going everywhere. If you haven't seen Jim Jefferies live, do yourself a favour. Go see him. You give them what they want. Tickets on sale Friday by frontiertouring.com. Jim Jefferies, you're a great man. Thank you, brother.
Thanks. Looking forward to seeing you, mate.
You too, brother.
Thanks, everyone.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy driving you home for your Tuesday arvo. And if money feels a little wild, NAB's right there with you. From weekly groceries to the yearly holiday, whatever matters to you, NAB can help wrangle it. NAB, more than money.
I'm so excited about our next guest.
Yeah, I'm too.
She's literally made her childhood dream come true. She's the first Australian woman to do this.
First Australian.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I thought it was the first Australian woman.
Nah, just first Australian.
First Australian astronaut joins us next.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Across Australia, if you drive home the Sabo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because you know when someone is so qualified, you don't really know where to start. Like the list is so long. So I'll just go with the thing that jumps out. This person I'm about to introduce you to is the first person to become a qualified astronaut under the Australian flag. She joins us now all the way from Germany, Catherine Bunnell-Pegg. G'day, Catherine.
G'day, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Pretty good. Where do we start? What does it mean to be a qualified astronaut? How many years and different schools and everything do you have to go through?
Oh my goodness, it's such an honour for a start. So yeah, I've got about 15 years experience as a space engineer, program manager across the world in six different countries and more recently Australia, you know, helping to design satellite missions to look at our planet and the universe and new space station modules and all of that. And after doing that for a number of years, working on some of the coolest missions that I really enjoyed working on, I had the chance to apply to be an astronaut. And so after being selected for that, you become an ASCAN or an astronaut candidate and train for just over a year with other ASCANs from around the world and then graduated on Monday last week as an astronaut, which is really fun.
Are there many female astronauts, Catherine?
Today it's pretty well balanced. So in my class of six of us that graduated, half of us were women, but that was by merit, you know, not by design.
Right.
But historically there hasn't been, you know, I think historically it's about 10%. Have been women. And, you know, that's something that needed to be addressed really, because not just does space need the most capable people up there who sometimes are women, but also in space, your medical test subjects for, you know, important medical research on Earth. And some of that's quite gendered, things like osteoporosis. So for women to benefit on Earth, they need to be in space too.
It's very rare that someone gets to live the dream of the thing they said when they were a kid. You know, if you think of all the things we dream of being with a kid, as a kid, we rarely get to be them. You are doing your childhood dream. What was it about it that first made you want to go, I want to be an astronaut?
You know, when I was young, it was about the adventure. I used to love, you know, lying on the prickly grass in my backyard and looking at the sky and trying to understand the world around me. And when I realized, you know, those stars, some of them were planets, some of the blurry blobs in the sky were galaxies sometimes in the year. And that was just an incredible sense of a wonder that I had. And then when I grew up and become a teenager, I wrote in my careers counselling form at school that I wanted to be an astronaut. And rather than, you know, laugh at me, my school sent me off to figure out what that would mean. And I realised that, you know, you can be a scientist, an engineer, a pilot, even a doctor. And I set out to look at what of those things I enjoyed, and they all just seemed fantastic. But what I realized was that Australia didn't even have a space agency back then, let alone a pathway to become an astronaut. So I never dreamed I'd have the chance to do this, you know, representing my country. So I'm so glad I'm where I am now to do that. You know, and as I then developed my space career, developing missions, I really fell in love with space in general for what it can do to unlock, you know, discovery, new fundamental knowledge you need access to space to do, you know, it can help with new medicines on Earth and monitoring our planet. And it's just been, you know, really amazing. And for me, you know, to be able to do that now, it's pinched me stuff because, you know, as you become an adult and develop your career, I still had the dream, but it was at the back of my mind. I realized how unattainable it was likely to be. And, yeah, to just have the chance to apply was a thrill.
You've got two kids. I mean, how amazing that they get to go to school and say, hey, my mum's an astronaut.
I mean, are they young enough that my youngest still thinks I go to space every day when I go to work, which is very sweet. But they're at a school with some other astronauts, kids. Right. So it's really nice that, you know, they can share that experience as they get older.
Imagine if they just think that's the real world. And then they come and meet the rest of us and they're what? All of your parents aren't astronauts?
Your dad drives a truck. What do you mean?
Mine drives a rocket. But what did having kids strengthen your desire to become an astronaut? Did it slightly waver it where you're like, oh, what does this mean now that I'm a parent? Did it change it in any way?
I think having kids had me reflect more on the kind of legacy you want to leave in your career and in your life. And for me, that I would say strengthen my desire to contribute through space and as an astronaut, because, you know, it's so fundamentally critical space for our society. And many don't realize that, you know, without space, our society wouldn't function. You know, our banking, our farming, our energy, our way of life wouldn't exist. And, you know, space is about the future. It's about creating that environment that we want to see for the next generation. And astronauts unlock so much excitement amongst kids, enjoying them through to doing other interesting things in science and engineering and in their life, as well as itself, you know, creating new discovery to make our lives better. So for me, yeah, having kids definitely helped that inspiration factor. It also meant that I was confident I can exist on very little sleep, which is important sometimes to be an astronaut. So, yeah, it was very much a positive.
Catherine, it's not every day you get to speak to a real-life astronaut, so we'd love to ask you heaps more questions. Up next, if you can stick around.
We'll do more with Aussie astronaut Catherine Bunnell-Pegg up next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy for your Tuesday arvo, and we're still joined by Australia's first female astronaut, Catherine Bunnell-Pegg.
Catherine was just one of six to graduate from the European Space Agency after years of training.
I felt like a bit dumb when I saw your training, that I hadn't thought of all the things you would have to do for training. Like it had here, you had to learn survival, including sea, fire, water and winter, that you had to learn to like stitch wounds and start an IV drip and stuff. Like I never thought of all those other, like, because it's just you guys up there. You need to be able to do all of that.
Yeah, it's astronaut training is really, really broad. It's absolutely wonderful if you're someone that loves learning new things like I do. So, you know, in movies and so on, you know, historically astronauts really focus their skills around being pilots and operators, and those things are still important. But today, because astronauts do a lot of work in space labs, you learn a lot about science, all these different sciences that are done on the space station, like almost any science you can imagine. And we do it in labs too, because we're, you know, the hands and the eyes and the ears of the scientists up there, and we're their guinea pigs too, which is a lot of the reason that we do the medical work, learning to, you know, draw blood on each other and yourselves and put in IV lines and ultrasounds and ECGs. We learn about, can our body handle and the G-forces in a centrifuge, like that you go through for launch and re-entry. How do you react on low oxygen? I get really dumb, by the way, if oxygen's low. I forgot my home address when I was
asked. You just become a normal person.
And yeah, we do expeditions like winter survival and ocean survival and firefighting and rescue, which built on my previous experiences, you know, volunteering in the SES and the surf life saving and my time in the Army Reserve. So I really enjoyed those too. We learn how to operate in teams. We learn about, you know, space law and space policy and things like this. And yeah, lots of sports and fitness too. And all of that prepares us to be able to contribute really efficiently in space when we get up there, we hope. Just 2 weeks ago, we were on, you know, a zero-G plane learning how to operate in zero-G without colliding or you know, floating off rather than, you know, being able to stay still and use drills and things like that. It's, yeah, it's really incredible. We go scuba diving to learn how to do spacewalks as well around, you know, full-scale mock-ups of the International Space Station, which is just phenomenal.
Cool. Catherine, what was, I have a two-pronged question for you, if you don't mind. What was the hardest bit on your body and what was the hardest bit on your mind?
I'd say the hardest bit on my body was the centrifuge training. So in there, we were just meat in a seat. In this one, we weren't operating a simulator or anything because it was our first time, but you climb into a capsule and it's dark and they spin you up. And as an astronaut, you feel the force front to back, like you're lying on your back in the rocket or the capsule. And we went up to 6G through the different stage separations, and you feel like you're tumbling forward and back, just the way the inner ear works. And it was hard. You had to learn to breathe differently, but it was also really, really incredible because you could really imagine that you're on that rocket and coming back as well. Yeah. On our mind, for me, my goodness, it was learning Russian. We had to learn, advanced Russian in about 8 intense weeks of classes. So that was tough. Yeah, I'm not really great at languages, so I had to really roll up my sleeves for that one. But I got there. When I passed the exam, there was a massive sense of relief that I might get through to the end of that course because it was a tough course.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe on top of all of it, they chuck a language in.
And Russian.
Just to keep us busy, you
know. Yeah, but you're scared, Catherine. Like I'm just imagining myself sitting in there as they're counting backwards to take off, and every part of me just feels overwhelmed. Do you ever get scared, or nothing scared? Nothing. You're not fearful of anything.
Oh, you know, I think if people were to not feel a little bit nervous, they wouldn't be human. That's totally normal. But I bet that it's much harder for people to watch people they love launch than to be the one on the rocket busy with the checklist and getting on with it. But, you know, I've worked in the space industry, including on human spaceflight vehicles, for many years, and I recognize the deep level of specialization and effort and dedication that goes into the teams that make those vehicles and modules, and, you know, really strict processes. So every effort is put into making it safe. That being said, you know, it's on the edge of technology, you're at the frontier. So sometimes things go wrong, but we train for everything that we could imagine could go wrong, and also for things that we can't imagine and how to react in those situations. So, yeah, of course, a little bit nervous. I think it would be normal, but I will go hopefully one day knowing that I'm as prepared as I ever can be and that it's worthwhile doing as well. So that, I think, is an important part of it as well.
One last question before we go. You mentioned that, you know, Australia has to sponsor you, for want of a better word, to go. Are there any astronauts that train, become astronauts, and then they never get the chance to go to space?
Yeah, absolutely. Not every astronaut goes to space, but you train, with that intent. That's what you're preparing for.
But how underwhelming, I mean, if you got to the end of your career and you never got to see the world that you've so desperately spent your life ready to conquer. Like, that's crazy.
I mean, I think it would be tough, but the skills that I've learned even in the training, should that happen, have still been beneficial. So I've learned so much about all the topics we talked about that I look forward to, you know, bringing home to Australia, to informing people in our space and science industry about it, to, you know, speaking to schools to help the next generation get excited. So I
you're
think
too
it,
lovely,
it does survival
nice.
In itself,
I'd become
but, yeah,
so bitter.
I'd just
go to Russia and where you learn the language and take up citizenship there and get them to send you.
Oh, dear, no.
Catherine, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time. Congratulations again. And we really appreciate getting the opportunity to chat to you.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been great. Carrie and
Tommy. Are we going to get a bit of Billie Eilish on today, Jesse?
Yeah, we're kicking off with Bad Guy.
Bad Guy, 13, 10, 60, if you're a massive Billie Eilish fan. If you've heard the news today that she is touring Australia in 2025.
Whoa.
Her new album will be released on May 17. She's going to perform 12 dates on the East Coast. She's going to be in Brizzy, in Feb 18, 19, 21, 22, in Sydney, 24th, 25th, 27th, 28th, and Rod Laver in Melbourne, March 4, 5, 7, and 8.
What year are we in now?
2024.
Oh, it's not too far away.
Next year. That'll come around. I remember, when I got tickets to Tay Tay, it felt like it was years away. And then before you knew it was here. So get in quick, 13, 10, 60, call now. It's the Hit Me Hard and Soft Tour. It is by Live Nation. They're saying no more shows will be added. So you have to get in quick. You can't be one of those things where you're like, no, I'll just wait till closer to the time. Get on board Friday, May 3. Tickets go on sale via Ticketek.
Yes, because coming up we have the music quiz. Would you like to?
Yeah, give me a little teaser like a question little, to think about.
Would you like a little hint?
I can, back
give
back.
You, I can give you a bit of audio.
Uh-huh.
This One Hit Wonder is so famous that I'm only going to give you 1 second of
Ooh.
It and we're going to see if you know who this is.
Ooh, I do.
That's
know
coming
who
up
is.
On the other side of back to back to back to back.
Carrie and Tommy.
Your Tuesday afternoon. It is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, and it's time for this.
Do Carrie and Tommy know about songs and hits? When it comes to music, do they know their stuff? Have they paid attention to the music through the years? It's time now for the music trivia quiz. I said it's time now for the music trivia quiz.
Bickers, are you ready to be quizzed?
I love being quizzed. What have you got for me this week?
One Hit Wonders is your category. How does that make you feel instantly? Are you,
I think I'm excited by it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not probably going to know any of them because that's the problem with a One Hit Wonder. You don't get to know the artist very well.
Ooh. Well, you will definitely know this song, but I need you to tell
me. Is Psy the answer to one of them?
Hang on, reading Angnam's, ahead, reading ahead. Hang on, if I just make it not anymore. No. Who is the one hit wonder artist behind this ditty?
A little bit of Monica in my life.
Louis Vega. No, Louis, is it Vega? Vega? Yeah.
Yes, well done. I'll just take Lou instead of Louis. But Louis. That's fine.
Lou Vega.
Yes. Is it Vega or Bega? Because my cheese hint was not going to be helpful then.
Oh, I always thought it was Bega.
It probably is.
I don't know.
I was
just reading. I used to love that song. Yeah.
Yeah. Louis Cheese. Now, I will point out this week, and One Hit Wonders is appropriate because the quiz was put together by the most concussed member of the team, young Sammy Boy, who is having a rest day today because he put the quiz together yesterday and that's done the old nut in. But he has.
I think he laughs at someone that's had a concussion.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at him. I'm explaining some of the decisions. And literally, he's having
Sammy,
a rest day
I'm
today.
I'm thinking of you.
Yeah, I'm.
Wherever you're lying, I'm thinking of you.
I'm thinking of you too, Sammy. Turn the lights down because this one he's put in the most visual, he's put in a pitch around.
That's good for radio.
So, can you name this One Hit Wonder group and song, and I'm showing you a picture of three women,
a blonde woman.
Oh, Carrie's concussion's coming back.
Is this your weekend that you're showing me?
Oh.
Gosh, who are they?
It's not a bad weekend, though.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be pretty happy. I'd be happy with that weekend.
Oh, even if you're only a One Hit Wonder out of those three, that's
bad.
I mean, they're all dancing in. That would be annoying. Guys, we're going to have to do everything synchronized.
What do you put on your fish and chips?
What?
What do you put on your fish and chips?
Salt. Chicken salt.
Do you think that's chicken salt and pepper?
Sauce.
Salt and Pepper was the name of a band.
No, I know.
So it could have been Salt and Pepper.
It's a chicken salt and pepper. Also, don't get angry at me.
Sauce. Tomato.
If you're an American.
And
ketchup?
But what if it was lost? And you said, I've lost ketchup.
Last ketchup.
Last ketchup is correct. And what's the song
called? What the hell is last ketchup?
That's those three women.
Most women are called last ketchup.
Yes.
They need a real sit down and rebrand.
Their careers are over, mate. They don't care anymore.
When was that photo taken?
Oh, probably their last ketchup. And they are responsible for.
Oh!
You know what this is called?
Extra points if you can guess what they're saying.
Aren't they just saying a hip to the hop, to the hip?
It's called the ketchup song.
Is it?
Mm.
Does it say anything else other than that for the whole song?
Boogie and my bibbidi bee.
Oh, wait. Nah, it's just the instrument.
I don't mind a boogie, but I do prefer a bibbidi bee. Like, if you get the option, I'm down for a bibbidi bee.
What does that look like?
Oh, you don't want to, can't you?
Oh, that's his other weekend.
It's my Monday. We will play you a second of a One Hit Wonder song, and just a second,
mm-hmm.
and you have to guess what it is. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. My Sharona.
Bye.
My Sharona.
Oh, Carrie has a talent for this.
Another name for your nuts is your
balls.
That's balls? A good guess. Keep going.
Your sack?
Sounds like.
Knock?
Yes.
Your.
Oh, your knockers.
Oh, knock. Is this close?
Nads?
Your Nadses.
What?
It's the knack.
Oh, the knack.
These are Sam's words. And remember, mild head injury.
Mild?
2006. But it's true. What do you mean? It is true, though.
Okay. It is true.
Yes, it is true. In 2006.
When was the mild head injury?
Oh, it's been a while.
A year and a half ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I was going to say mild is not true.
Yes, yes. Anyway, tip a bit of water out, Sammy. In 2006, the classic Australian TV show, 20 to 1, aired an episode on One Hit Wonders. Name one of the hosts from its 155 episodes.
Oh, it had, I remember, I reckon Sophie Monk was in one of them. It had Jules Lund was in one of them. I think Fifi was in one of them. Thorno was in one of them.
Thorno was in one of them is what I've got on the list.
Any of those other people I mentioned?
No, but I'm sure they were because I'm sure Cody did it. Nick Cody. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he did it with Sophie Monk.
Mm.
Bert Newton I would have taken. Aaron Molan.
Oh.
Bud Tingwell.
Oh, buddy.
And David Rain.
David Rain. Saying. He used to be on 9 a.m. with Kim, David and Kim.
Oh,
do you remember them?
Point for that? No, I don't.
When I was at the project when I first started, there was a show on that was replaced Bert, and it was called 9 a.m. with David and Kim.
This is the woman who says she's flat out and doesn't have a spare moment.
No, it was in. I was in at work that early doing the project, and they would be finishing
9 a.m.
Like I'd get in at 11, they'd be finishing 9 a.m. with David and Kim.
Oh, God, a peek back behind the curtain of showbiz.
Really?
It's good stuff.
Kim was lovely. Okay. So was David, but we didn't have as much catch-ups as I did with Kim.
Oh, last catch-ups.
Okay.
Because we
didn't
make up together.
I'm going to, you and Kim, or David, I'm going to give you the lyrics to this song and you've got to.
I can't believe we got rid of the paper quiz.
Sammy can't handle finding the paper.
Yeah,
anyway,
I know.
I'm going to give you the lyrics and you've got to finish them. I'm actually going to sing them.
Okay.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga.
Yeah.
Come on.
I think I need the actual song.
Come on. No, okay. Ooga chaka, ooga,
ooga, ooga. Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka.
A couple more bars from
She's
Carrie
correct.
There.
She's correct.
What was that song?
Hooked on a Feeling.
Hooked on a Feeling.
And there's a note from Sammy at the bottom. Let me know if you want a harder one than this, but I just want to hear Biggers say, Ooga Chucka.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Bye.
Bye.
Another wildly entertaining podcast with Carrie and Tommy is all wrapped up. If money feels a little wild, Nab's right there with you. From weekly groceries to the yearly holiday, whatever matters to you, NAB can help wrangle it. NAB, more than money.